Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. And it's actually, I think, almost a year to the day that my guest tonight, Don Alder, was here. Actually, when we ended the show, he's like, let's book next year, right? Because I'll be coming in for NAMM because he lives in Canada. And so we locked it in. So it was actually locked a year ago. It's sweet. Advanced.
It's our first anniversary.
That's right.
I brought you flowers. I mean, strings.
No. No, you brought some amazing guitars over here. So anyway, so we had talked about this, and we were getting ready to do the show. And I also had talked about two or three months ago, I had Yamaha on, and we had done a show about the acoustic guitars. So I thought, well, you know, Don's an artist for Yamaha. I have to invite them. So I invited my friends from Yamaha, and we have a very special thing tonight happening because we have one of the guests, Yoshi Tambara,
yes.
And from Japan. He is the guy that designed the A-Series guitar. So I have the actual designer here. Yeah. And that's one of the guitars that Don uses pretty much as his go-to acts for both live and recording. So, and then we also have Julian Ward. He's the global strategy manager for Yamaha Guitars. And we've been talking before the show, and it's just, it's great to have both of you guys here. It's welcome. That's all I can say. You guys are great. And Yoshi, you make killer guitars. So I'm going to play a clip really from quickly from Armed and Dangerous, which is Don's his acclaimed album. It's won several awards this year, and internationally also too, besides domestically. Don's pretty well known, and he's won some different awards this year too, you know, for just as his playing, but also for this record. So this one, I wanted to pull something that really kind of shows the Yamaha guitar, and this is called Arrows Will Fly. So let me play this clip, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Don and his guitar.
Thank you.
beautiful piece of music. But also, too, note when he's playing, the middle strings, how clear they ring out, and the overtones, the articulation of the guitar. Yes, a lot of that is his technique, but a lot of it also is the guitar. And to me, that's one of the critical things I listen to when I'm picking a guitar or using a guitar, that I can hear those, the overtones are blended well, where you don't get too bassy. It doesn't, the low end or the high end doesn't override. You can get those middle voices, because finger style playing, especially the way Don plays, those middle voices are so critical. And Yoshi, that the overtones on this guitar is just amazing.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for making a killer
thank
guitar.
You.
Yeah. So now I want to start out real quick with Don. As you picked your guitar, which you needed to do for live, which you've had this guy for a while, mm-hmm. but what were your demands? What did you need out of the guitar? Because you do a lot of different things. That little clip just shows him doing a little bit of a percussive thing with the strings, but he taps and he uses the guitar more than just a guitar. It's like a full, a full percussion instrument. So what I wanted to ask you was what you needed from the guitar, and how you came about using this guitar. And then I want to direct it to Yoshi in his design, how he fulfilled that. I mean, because I'm sure it's not just yourself, but the artist that uses guitar, which is a pretty big roster of people, they're professional musicians are demanding. They need certain things to be able to get their sound and stuff. And that's what I want to see. We'll ask Yoshi how he was able to do that. So anyway, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll give you a bit of history how it actually got going to that, this particular guitar. I mean, when you go on stage as a solo artist, you're naked up there, so you mm-hmm. want to have a big sound, right? Mm-hmm. And so two things that I thought that would be criteria for that turned out not to be right. And one was to have an absolutely huge guitar mm-hmm. and a very expensive guitar. And so that's what I started out with very expensive guitars and big body, super jumbos and mini jumbos. And two things happened. One is they get destroyed because they're built so lightly, it's hand-built guitars. And then when these guitars get destroyed, it hurts a lot. They cost a lot of money. And the other thing is I was always fighting too many low overtones, because when you start cranking up volume, those low frequencies you'll find in a big body guitar start to become problematic. Mm-hmm. And I like to play loud. Not a lot of players are like that way, but when I play loud, I want it to be punchy and ballsy. Mm-hmm. And so, I got out of, I remember I was playing at a festival, we were all high-end guitars, and I had the Yamaha rep named Chris Selden kind of hand me one of these guitars, and I was kind of like sneering and laughing at it a little mm-hmm. bit, and shame on me for that. But he said, take it home, try it for a couple of weeks. I did that, and then he couldn't get it back in my hands. So I lived with that guitar for quite a while, but I was still fighting the same problems of those lower frequencies and playing loud. And finally, I got this little AC3R, which is more like a concert-sized guitar, mm-hmm. and I learned a very valuable lesson. It's a low-cost guitar, but when you play it unplugged, it's a very quiet guitar. But when you plug this thing in and crank the volume, now all those frequencies that come up are more that mid-range push, right? So it's more like the way Tommy Emmanuel is. You look at Tommy Emmanuel, he's got this huge sound, but he's playing a concert-sized guitar. And so it was a valuable lesson for me. And the thing is, I can travel anywhere in the world and get one of these off the shelf, and I'm covered. I don't have to send a guitar back to get it fixed. I think that's one of the most valuable things for me.
Well, one thing I've always found with Yamaha guitars in general is they're consistent.
Yeah.
And that's important to me. I mean, to be able, like you said, to get one off the shelf. But pretty much every guitar, every Yamaha, I played several FG-180s, which I have an FG-180, and all of them were very consistent. And friends of mine that would ask, what's a good, if they wanted to get a classical or something, all of them were pretty, I used to go to NAMM and play. Used to have all of the guitars out there and all the mid-range ones that weren't terribly expensive, but they sounded good, but they all sounded good. To me, that's a very important thing.
Well, these guys have been building, guitars over, I think, probably over 25 years now. But a couple of features that I also really liked is that a lot of times when you play an acoustic, you have an exceptionally high action. Mm-hmm. And so they've been able to make a stiff enough neck where you can actually have quite a low action, which is, phenomenal. And then you have to actually chamfer the corners of around the sides of the neck. Mm-hmm. So when you're wrapping your thumb around, you're not like getting, cuts in your thumb and stuff. So functionally, killer guitar, workhorse, amazing workhorse. And I look forward to seeing their new series come out.
Well, show a little, before we ask Yoshi about the design of the guitar, I want you to kind of demonstrate the different things that you do. Now, you basically finger pick it and play it straight on, but you do a lot of cool stuff on this guitar, and that's got its own demands, especially the percussive things that you do. So I want you to kind of just show some of the things that you do.
Well, my most sophisticated thing right now is, like, maybe playing Mary Had a Little Lamb out of tune. I'm just kidding. No, so one of the things I've been trying to do is, today, you're kind of looking like the new players are looking to play more like a piano player.
Mm-hmm.
So two hands are kind of working independently with different rhythms. So I'm doing that a lot, but, I have, like, basic percussion I'll kind of always do, and... So, I mean, it's not that you can't do that in other guitars. It just works really well on this guitar. But I'll play. Do you want me to play a piece on this to see how it goes?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
It's great. And he's using, I just want to go a little bit in what he was doing there. Because a lot of the initial percussion was, or the percussive sounds was him tapping on the strings, whether he would tap from his left hand on the bass string, but a lot of it was hitting the string with his right hand. And then he went into it, and I took some pictures, and we'll show this, where he's, when he did that little percussive break, he's actually hitting the cutaway, and then also the bottom towards the bridge, he was tapping around there. So it's an interesting, great tune. Now, what was the name of that one?
That's called Armed and Dangerous, yeah.
That is the Armed and Dangerous. Okay, and that's from the title song of the album.
Yeah. But a note on that, just to give you an idea, you know, typically when you try to go really, really low tunings on a standard guitar, it's tricky. And especially on a small body guitar like this, but I'm still able to do it. It's not ideal. I should be playing this on a baritone. So you can hear I'm going pretty low, and it's still actually holding shape, right, without falling too far, getting too floppy.
Yeah, now, but it sounded great, and you were hitting it, you would hit it with your finger from your left hand.
Yeah, it's fun banging on things.
And you could really hear what you were saying about the smaller bodied guitar coming out in the performance there as well.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of energy going into that guitar.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The low end wasn't overpowering. It was still articulate and clear. And from our point of view, that's great because that's what we hope for.
Yeah,
that's,
I would think you'd have a problem trying to play that on with a dreadnought live.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I've seen, you're right, I'm seeing a lot more guitarists using smaller bodied guitars for live and let the pickup do the work.
Yeah.
And let it, you know, then you can dial it in. It's easier to dial it in than the other way around.
To get rid of it.
Yeah, and sure. This idea that the low end is everything. You know, sure, yeah, low end is nice and it kind of does make you smile, but there's that thing about actually when you're playing the mid-range, it's like what's happening there, that's a lot of what you're going to get into, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And and also too the way with the smaller body guitar too, you're hearing all those overtones, mm-hmm. and that to me is critical to what you're doing.
I think so, yeah. Because I typically could be a muddy kind of style player. I got to, and this, you know, because it's small and it's got the clarity, it helps. It aids
yeah.
me.
No, it's a it
makes me better.
It's
than
always
I
a beautiful guitar, beautiful sounding guitar. Yeah. Now, let's go ahead and ask Yoshi. What I want to ask you now is, When you designed this guitar, what were you trying to do? And did you get input from the artists, or did they say, "We want this, build this for us"?
Yes. I wanted to develop authentic acoustic electric guitar. So I actually designed the Ace Leads as a stationary workhorse guitar. So as Don explained, Ace Leads has a great playability,
mm-hmm.
so rounded fingerboard edge and lower action, wider string spaces, elements for kind of fingering and performance.
Yeah, and best bang for the buck too. You just can't beat it. So
yeah, and I think Yamaha acoustics have a especially rich overtone, good treble sound, and balanced sound.
How did you get that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give away your secrets, but from your experience, how did you get? Because they're all of your Yamahas, the new ones especially, I've heard all of them have that. The L series too. The overtones are just
L series great. Yeah,
Yamaha basically making guitar authentic way, so with a double tail joint and very accurate measurement and very accurate process, and that's called. Elements create this kind of sound, I think.
Now, did you want to ask?
No, I'm listening.
No, the A series, this is rosewood, right, with a spruce top, if I'm correct?
Yes, correct.
Now, I've always admired the fact that you guys, Yamaha always used, you know, other woods, alternative woods, and I know now I had another friend of mine mention that it's a big deal at NAMM this year is the scarcity. Now, a lot of rosewood's in the endangered season, and you guys... I remember looking at the old Yamaha catalogs, and it was like NATO. Like, what's this? You know, and it's like. Yeah. But now, are all the A series rosewood, or do you use different woods, or how do you feel about these other alternative woods? Are you able to get the sound that you want?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, one of the things for us is we've always tried to be completely honest and transparent about the wood that we're using. So some people would use NATO and would call it mahogany, or would come up with a euphemistic name like Eastern mahogany or something that sounds exotic but is kind of made up. We'd rather just be completely straight about what it is. But I think the important thing for us when it comes to guitars is that it is the sound of the guitar that comes first, and we will pick the wood that makes the guitar sound right. And that even means sometimes we'll pick a wood that doesn't necessarily sound as fancy as something else if it's the right sounding wood for that guitar.
Right.
So actually on A series it is rosewood and mahogany on the back and sides. You've got a choice of either rosewood or mahogany models.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we use different woods, we use different things on different
guitars. Is that the same thing for the L series too?
Yeah.
And if I'm correct, the L series, which came out a couple of years ago, if I'm correct, it was basically Yamaha said, we want to build a traditional guitar, no frills, no electric. It's not electric, it's an acoustic instrument, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, the L-Series, the current L-Series actually does have a pickup, but it's a passive pickup, and it's what we call the zero-impact pickup. Okay. So there's no electronics, no preamp, no nothing. You can't feel it, you can't hear it, you can't do anything unless you plug it in and you get the output. But yeah, that's very much where that was coming from. The L-Series is more of the traditional, non-cutaway, bigger, slightly deeper guitar, whereas the A-Series is the more modern, kind of contemporary player's guitar.
Right. So, and it basically is the workhorse for live performances.
Yeah, and it has a slightly brighter, slightly more modern tone on the A-Series as well. Maybe the L-Series has got a slightly bigger, maybe slightly more bass-heavy, traditional tone. Mm-hmm. A-Series is a little bit more bright, a little bit more open. And, you know, as Don was saying earlier, really well suited to actually getting on a stage, cranking it up, and still cutting through a mix, whether that's you playing solo or playing with a band.
Yeah. Just to comment on that, you know, that opening track you played, Arrows Will Fly, and so when you're recording, you obviously test different guitars. And so I tried the AC3R with that tune, and then I tried the LL16D with that, which is one of the new LL series, and you can hear the richness that actually worked for that song, so it's that bigger body sound on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just a beautiful sounding.
Yeah, it's a great sounding guitar. I love it.
Now, I want to ask Yoshi, in lieu of the fact that it's inevitable that eventually we're not going to see much rosewood guitars. I mean, it's becoming endangered, and we have to look at that. I'm curious, what sounds as good or pretty close to rosewood? What wood is good? What's the future? I mean, what can you use to get to get this sound and not be able to use rosewood? Can you get that sound?
Oh, it's a difficult question, but yeah.
Because I'm amazed. The NATO sounds great. I mean, they really are. They're great sounding guitars. So,
But you guys must have a stockpile of Indian rosewood, right?
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
So that's
We are thinking another alternative materials also.
Yeah. Carbon fiber.
Maybe.
It's one of the fun parts of designing and developing and making guitars for a company like Yamaha is we're actually constantly working on materials and looking at what can make that sound and what we can use.
Right.
I mean, the reality is in the short term, rosewood's fine. Yeah, we have a stock of it. It's fine. It is moving into the endangered species list, and we know that, as you said, eventually rosewood's going to run out. As guitar makers, as the guitar industry, we have to look to alternative materials, or because there simply isn't going to be any in the future. So one of the fun things that we have actually is spending quite a lot of time trying to figure out what is coming next for materials. Mm-hmm. And we're experimenting with different woods, we're experimenting with composite materials, with carbon fibers, with all kinds of things. You know, and we make some things and they sound awful, and we make some things and it sounds quite promising. There's nothing immediately there that we're about to drop and go, oh yeah, if you use this, it sounds perfect.
You're still experimenting.
It's a big topic for us. And I mean, even going back 7 or 8 years on some of our guitars. On some of our electric guitars, we were bringing out some new body materials. There was a guitar we had called the RGX-A2, mm-hmm. and part of the point of that guitar was to try alternative, fast-growing, very, very manageable, sustainable woods to see how we could get a good tone, get a usable tone from things that weren't going to become endangered, that weren't so hard to use and mm-hmm. to get hold of. So we can make more guitars.
Well, I have to throw a plug in for which blew me away the last time you guys were on the show, and that was the FG800. Mm. Now,
great guitar.
And you know, these guitars, like you said, your guitar, even with the rosewood, it's reasonable for mm-hmm. what the price is if you compare it to some of the other guitars that are out there that are thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Yamaha has always been a competitively priced and a fair value for the money. I've never seen it outlandish, you know. But this FG800, which was NATO, and the sound of it was killer, it lists for $200. And I was telling them before the show, mm-hmm. I was talking to some of my friends, because as a guitar player, and you know this, a working musician's, you know, some of the big guys can afford the big fancy ones and stuff like that. Yeah. But most of the working musicians, they might buy a couple of really expensive guitars, but then they don't have a lot of money to buy, like, you know, a slew of them. And especially in a session thing, which I use my Yamaha a lot, is to double with other guitars, whether it's a Martin or a Gibson or a Guild or whatever it is. And it works really well for that. And two different guitars work better than doubling the same guitar. It always sounds fuller and better because the harmonic content works better.
Well, sure.
It's obvious. So, but I, you know, for $200, that's a great second guitar for doubling, and that it's NATO, and it has a real rich overtone. It's a little different than the rosewood sound, mm-hmm. but it's nice. It's a very pleasing guitar, and it's recordable. And to me, even the midline Yamahas, I've played your classical guitars and stuff like that. A lot of them are very recordable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is a difference between your top of the line, no doubt, but you can make it work. And as a studio musician, that's really what it's all about.
You know, you just, after listening to Julian talk, it just brought up a point to me that shows, you know, one of Yamaha's kind of distinct excellences. And that is that most companies, when you find something that works, you kind of keep building off of that template. But the fact that you guys put all that R&D in typically equates back to the public a very high price for the initial R&D costs. But the fact that you do all that R&D and then still bring something out cost-effective to the market is major hats up to Yamaha for doing that.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's something that actually goes right back to the original formation of the company. And it was about making inspiring, great instruments for people, but without doing that at a really high price point. It was actually the founding of the company was, I reckon I can make reed organs that cost less than this so more people can enjoy making music. And even today, that's something that sticks with us, that idea that, no, this is about making music accessible to people and about getting guitars in people's hands and getting them inspired and getting them playing music. It's not necessary, you know, we're guitarists, we love playing guitar, we love everything about guitars, but it's not about making the most expensive, fanciest, flashiest guitars. It's about getting the most people kind of inspired that we can and getting out there playing. That's, for us, that's the point.
And it's important to note that, like, people have called me. I've known friends of mine that just wanted to start guitar, and they're like, I need something to start, but I don't have a lot of money. That's always the case. And sometimes you can, you know, you can buy used stuff, and sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not. They can be trashed. It may be a little easier with used stuff for electric guitars because electric guitars are easy to fix and adjust. But for acoustic guitars, like my friends that started out as students for classical especially, because that's a tricky guitar to get a good, you know. And if you've talked to classical players, they're very finicky about their guitars and they're like, oh, I got to have this one. But I found that the Yamaha, for the money, you can find a guitar that's under $500 that's a good guitar, and it plays well, whether it's a classical or acoustic steel string. And it's vital for when they're starting out, especially kids are starting out, that it plays easy. Because if they're struggling, my first guitar was a plywood Stella I won in a contest. It was unplayable. It hurt to play that thing. Fortunately, my parents got me another guitar, and I was able to play, but I could have never after about a year, I would have probably given up guitar because it was just unplayable. But it was a cheap guitar that I won. But the fact that you could go to a store and buy a guitar for $200 or $300, and it's a guitar that would last you years and be able to play, that's vital, because that's how you're going to keep younger people, or not just any age, but just a beginner, so they it's comfortable and fun to play, and it sounds good.
Yeah.
And I think that Yamaha has achieved that. I mean, it's an interesting thing, because the fact that you can make it at that and at a reasonable price tells you something. It's like, yes, that's, you know, it should be. And that's not to say, you know, there's these smaller luthiers and they make these beautiful guitars. And personally, I'm a sucker for pearl inlay. I love pearl inlay everywhere.
Wait till you see turquoise inlay. That's
cool.
I've got one of those. It's pretty awesome.
But I mean, that's, you know, I love a work of art. And a lot of these guitars, especially these small companies, they're making beautiful guitars. But at the same token, a company like Yamaha, that's their pianos are killer. I mean,
drums.
If you're your drums and their motorcycles, and I mean, they make everything. I have to admit, it's just, they're just great for the, you know, again, the price point for some of the guitars. I think that's vital to keep people interested in playing and music.
Yeah, and honestly, seeing, you know, being able to see artists of the caliber of Don playing our guitars and depending on them and getting that kind of tone and that kind of expressiveness mm-hmm. out of the instrument transcends any ideas of, oh, is it good value for money? Is it this? It's just a great thing to see someone making music with that. And from our point of view, I think from the people designing them and making them and sitting and thinking about what it should be, that's the ultimate accolade for it, is mm-hmm. that players like Don can rely on it every night to go and gig with.
Yeah, reliability is a big factor.
Yes,
for sure.
And they're consistent. That's the thing. The consistency and the ruggedness of the guitars. My FG-180's been through a lot. I played it at the beach. It's been in the sand. It's been live.
Things will take a hard life.
Yeah, yeah, and it was a laminate. You know, the new ones are solid and they sound great. But I have a solid top, but it's a laminate body, and that guitar has been through so much stuff. And it's had a couple of frets. I mean, I wore it out. I just played it forever. But it's a great.
I think it was in 2011 when I won the Worldwide Guitar Idol. My guitar mm-hmm. got demolished from throwing it 4 feet up in the air in a case that was supposed to protect it, and it actually down by the lower boat. It got all smashed in, and then a glue lifted up all the way around to the back. So basically, had like a sandwich talking guitar. And we both know the bridge keeps it in tune.
Yep.
So when I got to the UK, I'm panicking, of course, but I found some duct tape on stage and held it down and went up stage and used a dilapidated guitar, and it actually held its own and won with it. So I had to bribe the judges $10. So it was
duct tape. Remember that.
It's always duct tape.
It's always
the duct tape.
Makes or breaks rock and roll.
And it was the same. I was using an A3R back then. That's the one that got kind of destroyed. But it went up on stage and pulled it off all bashed up.
Yeah. So. Now, one quick question. In the A series, is there any new models coming out of the A series, or is it basically the ones that are? I mean, you have I think you have a Dreadnought A, right? And then you have the one that's a concert one, right?
Yeah, we have the Dreadnought size and the concert size, the A and the AC. No, there are two body styles for the A series, because that's actually having talked to players and having listened to what people want to do with it. We're pretty happy that those two body shapes are meeting people's needs, that they're giving people the sound that they want. Yeah. We've looked at like a mini jumbo, because we did a mini jumbo with the LJ and the FJ for a while, and that's actually a really nice sounding guitar. But again, looking at how people are using A-Series, what people want from it, that smaller body in the Dreadnought has the bases covered, so no, we're sticking with those two shapes.
Now, does the A-Series have a 12-string and a gut string?
No, it doesn't. No.
Okay, it's just the... Okay. Yeah, I'm curious. 12-string's not easy to... That's a whole different
beast. I mean, the Yamaha nylon string's killer right now. I can't even see why they try to do an A-Series, because they've got it nailed down so nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's true. I agree. But it's rare to find a good 12-string.
There's a 12-string in the L series. Yes. There's an LL 1612. That's pretty nice, actually.
Wow. I didn't know that.
That's it, and that's with a single truss rod, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That still amazes me that you, because mm-hmm. I, you know, a lot of people, like for example, with a Martin or even a Gibson or whatever, they always use a detuning to keep the tension. Oh. I have an old '60s Guild and a Craviola, Giannini Craviola. They both have double truss rods, which, and also Rickenbacker, their electric 12 strings, always had double truss rods. It yeah. seemed to work really well. Yeah. But
well, the L series has got the 5-ply neck, so that's the guitar with the rosewood mahogany laminated neck to give it a little extra strength. We actually put a lot of energy into the design of the bracing patterns on the acoustics to avoid any lift on the bridge, because again, the same thing, we want to make guitars that people can play basically forever, that are going to really last. And you know how much of a problem that is on 12 strings when you've got that extra tension.
Oh, yeah.
We actually put a lot of energy into making sure the bracing pattern sounds great, but does give you enough structural strength so the thing isn't going to lift and it is going to stay stable. Yeah. But that 5-ply neck is definitely a part of it on L-series.
The center strip of that is Paduke, is it not?
I think that was on the that's on the Japanese L series.
Oh, because that's one I have. Stiff neck, and you get such a low plane action. That's the beauty of it, right? And it doesn't buzz out, right? It's really pretty nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. Now, I can't say enough. That's that's great. That's these A series guitars are great. Now we only have a little bit of time left. One of the things I wanted to cover tonight is one of the specialties that Don plays, and that is the harp guitar. So he brought in a Dyer Model 4, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to talk real quick, and then I want you to play something for us, is the tuning of it, because you have these drone strings, they're drone strings, because you can't fret them. And how you decided on the tuning, or is that a standard tuning, or how did...
Yeah, no, it's not a standard tuning by any means, and though it is my tuning for what I do in harp guitar, certainly not a tuning that could not be an original tune. It's probably been done before. But the standard tuning on this, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a Stephen Bennett tuning, mm-hmm. and when he takes his sub-strings, he ends up with a G, where I end up with a D. And so what I've done is I've got... I had some songs that I wrote like in a D minor ninth tuning. So you have D, A, D, F, C, E. And so when I got my first harp, I thought, well, it'd be nice to kind of play, you know, the bass root notes, kind of to get a rich sound. And then as I started playing, I went back to a little lesson that a keyboard player taught me many years ago. And he said, Don, here's a C chord. And I think, C, E, and G for C chord? So he took three notes in one octave, and it was a very tight sound. Then he lifted the E note and dropped it down to two octaves, and all of a sudden you had this spacious sound. So that's kind of been my approach to the harp, is to try to do things with voicings that you can't do on standard six strings. So for example, get these really, you know, beautiful voicings. And so that's basically it. So I'm D, A, D, F, C, E on the standard strings, and on the six bass substrings I have, I think, F, G, A, F, G, A, B, C, D. So I end up with two Ds side by side.
F, G, A, what is it again? What are the last three?
F, G, A, B, C, D. Unless that's an F, H, hang on.
And then what's your...
So
and then what's your regular six string on there?
D, A, D, F, C, E.
F, C, E. That's not a standard D, A, D.
No, I've got a lot of songs written in that. Because as a guitar player, you're always trying to find a little bit of signature voice for yourself, and that's been... Been wonderful. Michael Mannering played on a song with me last year in that tuning, and it was awesome. I mean, like 3 or 4 years ago.
So you have, that's a pretty, those drone strings, that's a pretty wide, you got a lot of versatility. I mean, you can do a lot of things with that.
Yeah, I mean, the general attack, like I said, is you get root notes, or you can, you know, kind of do a basic bass run, or you try to find voices that really are extended voicings on it. So it's pretty cool.
Now on this guitar, do you do any of the percussive things that you do on it, or you tend to just play it straight?
No, I mean, I have to. Oops. Whoa. So I'll do that kind of stuff, and you know.
So you do, but you do it on the six string, but you can't. You basically just pluck the drone strings.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call them drones. I would call them bass notes with limited range, because you're fixed with those notes. You can't fret them, right? I usually pluck them, but you can find harmonics on them.
But you don't find that. I mean, you pluck them, but don't they? When you're playing a lot, especially on the regular guitar part, don't they start resonating? Don't they start?
Well, there's where you bring up the old chewing gum and rubbing the tummy thing, because you have to actually. When I'm playing a bass note, you'll see my wrist kind of comes down, and I wait and I try to time the muting on it so that it doesn't jump into the next chord. So if I let it ring, you're going to start getting, you know, voice clashes. So there is a bit of trickery in that you're always using your right hand and kind of wrist to mute notes. But I'm still a baby on the instrument. I just use it to write music. And there's some guys that do some fabulous stuff, like Stephen Bennett and, you know, Andy Wahlberg and Andy McKee, too. I've been trying to avoid the... I'm just making that up. I'm just kind of... There is so many... We're in a time when so many guitarists are doing this kind of ambient thing, and I'm kind of like the old school of Stephen Bennett, where you try to write a melody instead of putting licks and, you know, stacking up all the licks. So, so the journey for me on this instrument is probably a little bit different from other folks. And I don't have a huge body of work. I maybe have like 7 or 8 songs that I've written.
Well, I'm going to play a clip, and it's kind of like a sneak peek. And then I'll have you do some other things. I want you to play this thing live so they get an idea of it. This is called Early Riser Willie.
Yeah, Willie.
It's a song that's going to be, you were planning on putting on your next album,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
So we're getting kind of a sneak peek. And you do this live a lot? Is this a performance?
Or? I did in Germany, but I haven't played in a while, but we'll try it, sure.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and play the clip.
Sure.
But take a listen to this, and you can hear what he's doing with the, he's pretty active with those low strings that he's playing. So here, take a listen. I know that sounds like there's a bass player playing there, but it's not. It's him all by himself.
Did I actually play that? I don't remember doing that.
No, it's amazing. And those strings, it just adds a whole other dimension to it.
It does, totally, yeah. It's so much fun to sit and write.
Now, you pretty much stay with that tuning, right? Is that like your go-to tuning, or have you done other things with it? Or
I have. Here's the problem with a harp guitar. There is so much tension on the bridge that when you try to get into tuning... on guitar, you can talk for about a minute and retune, but on a harp guitar, it could take a little bit longer. So I have not done that, but messing around the bedroom, yeah. And, you know, you're always looking for things to inspire you, and having this kind of tool does. And I'll take it back to the Yamaha, because not too long ago, I tried their new, I think they're calling it the Transatlantic, is that what it's called?
Transacoustic.
So it's got this little reverb kind of thing attached to it inside the body that's it's like a sound hole exciter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you pick these things up, it's like you're a kid starting with a whole new instrument again. So new ideas just come like that, right? And so once again, as this tool, it's a tool to inspire to write new songs, and it allows me to do things I can't do in a regular six string.
Yeah, no, that I think every guitarist will agree. Yeah. When you have a different guitar, it makes you play differently.
Yeah.
It inspires you to go in a different direction.
I always found that from any baritones. It was, for me, because I don't do a lot of playing with alternate tunings, but... just switching to regular tuning on baritone, even playing the same things felt different, sounded different. You know, that's I can lose an afternoon without thinking about it, just moving to a baritone.
And if you're if you're a singer songwriter, it's interesting because you'd be singing your melody along, you'd be singing your melody, but then if you're tuned to fourth down, you're now singing the harmony to the thing. So it's like some very interesting possibilities, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in no way a master in this. I play it on tour and I do it for a couple songs, but I would love to have a year of, if I got finance somehow, just sit there and bury for a year and just write because it's just a fabulous, fabulous instrument. So,
well, give us a noodle on it a little bit. You don't have to necessarily play a strict piece, but I think I want to. It'll be nice to show them so they can get an idea of what you're doing with the strings. You can hear these beautiful strings.
Sure, maybe I'll play just a little bit of a song I wrote for Stephen Bennett. It's a song called Lady Lane. Maybe I didn't play that last time. I'll play it this time. But I called it Man from Lady Lane because Stephen Bennett, you know, when you're an inspired acoustic player, you always write songs for your mentors. So, you know, you got song for Billy, song for Bobby, song for Jammy, song. It just goes on. And so there were already six songs for Stephen. And so then I realized he lived on a street called Lady Lane. So I called it Man from Lady Lane, my epiphany. And then he moved. So there you go.
Sounding guitar, and we've already nudged Yamaha to build a harp guitar in a baritone. So we've already put the word in. They know. So
signature baritone. No,
that'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be all right. A Don Aldermalder for both a baritone or that.
Yeah.
So the I'm trying to think. So you're with the tuning. This is your main tuning that you're using, and then you'll occasionally experiment a little more. But what's common? What did Bennett use as a tuning? Just so we know.
Bennett, like I said, he's using on the six string side is standard tuning.
Oh, okay.
So he's playing it like a regular guitar, and I'm not sure where all of. I think he might start in either. I think he starts at a G, the bottom. Yeah, he ends up with two Gs. G F. You know what? He either starts at an F or a G and then works dramatically up, but his highest of the substrings are back to a G. And apparently that tuning allows for a lot of possibilities. Mm-hmm. Mine is kind of like an unorthodox. I don't think anybody else is playing in this tuning, and they might not want to.
Now, you use a steel string version, mm-hmm. and I know like Muriel Anderson uses a nylon string. Yeah. Have you tried the nylon, and how does that work? Or
you know, nylon's a whole beast on its own. It takes a certain touch, and if you put me on a nylon, you'd probably take me off it as soon as you put me on it. But what Muriel also has with her is she's got the treble strings, the super trebles, and that now becomes quite an amazing instrument, more like a piano because you can be playing all these high trebles.
So she has more strings on the other side.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think she's got another maybe 18 strings on the bottom side, 12 to 18 strings, I'm not sure. And then she's also got levers for the bass notes. And so now this would allow to change different tunings a little bit more friendly too. But you can play and then drop it down a pitch while you're playing to get some interesting kind of vocabulary going on. So yeah, it's right now Dyer Scott is working with I forget the old builder, the old California builder. He was building a harp guitar for Michael Hedges before Hedges passed, mm-hmm. and they'll be at NAMM, but they're going to be releasing the Hedges guitar that never got released, which will be
There's going to be a Michael Hedges.
Oh, I might die for saying that one. Anybody outside? Nobody outside yet. Phew.
Well,
she could.
We're almost out of time, so before we go, I want to ask. Both Yoshi and Julian, what can you tell us is coming up for you? If you can give us any sneak peeks of what to expect at Yamaha, what's coming up for the show? They're looking at each other and laughing.
We actually do have we've got some new acoustics coming out this week. So all I'm going to say is that actually if you are somebody who's into kind of great sounding, great playing workhorse acoustic guitar, something that's really going to work for you, writing, getting inspired, getting on stage, I think it's going to be a good
show. So it's a live performance design guitar.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, and before I play the last piece, I just want to mention to everybody www.donalder.com. Check it out, his website. You can see where he's going, what he's doing. Are you playing locally? I know Don's going to be back next week with my guest Kimo West, and I finally got Don to come in as a guest host, which I'm really excited to have you come back. It's going to be great.
Thanks. So, yeah, I'm playing at the NAMM show. I'm playing a bunch of different booths. I'll be playing at the Hilton stage at Friday at 11 a.m. if anybody's around for that. And then I'm going back up to Northern California, maybe not Northern, but I'm going to Roseville for a show, mm-hmm. and then also to another town there I can't think the name of.
But you're going to work your way back up.
Two more shows, yeah.
So anyway.
Windsor, California.
And then everybody, check out, you can get Armed and Dangerous everywhere. And it's a great album, and you'll hear just these killer tones, the sound of it. All the different tunings. It's really, really, it's a really highly recommended album. I really recommend that. And then it's us.yamaha.com, if I'm correct, is where you go, and you can see all the different guitars and amps. And there's much more to, you know, especially with acoustic guitars. They're little amps that they use. There's like a little, there's a little setup amp that we've had other artists bring in.
THRs.
And they're just, well, the THR for regular electric guitar, but you have a little like cube type of, it's not a cube, but it's a little guy for, I've had guys come in and play acoustic guitar in there.
Oh, wow.
And it's a beautiful little, it's just like, it looks like a little lunchbox or a ghetto blaster. It's a small one.
It's THR though for the acoustic. Is there a different?
Yeah, there's an acoustic THR which sounds great actually. It's small. It's
I'm gonna have to check
loud.
That because I we amazing. Had the electric one on when Armando and Andy came by, and that's a great sounding amp. That's just really good. But yes, and I'll be taking pictures when I go to the Yamaha booth, so you'll be seeing more of the stuff, and I'll definitely hit up those new guitars, so you'll be seeing those. But anyway, I just want to thank you guys, Yoshi. Beautiful guitars.
Thank you.
Just keep designing great stuff. I really admire what you're doing, and I think it's just awesome. Julian, you're a monster. It's great to have you here, and I hope you'll come back again.
Definitely. Thanks.
You're welcome to come and hang with us anytime. And Don,
thanks.
You got to come to California much more often.
I'm going to do that. I just wanted to mention that Saturday is the signing table at the Yamaha booth.
That's correct. Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, so if anybody's around, come down to that. There should be a lot of fun there.
Now, I'm going to leave us with this. I still can't pronounce the name.
Sofrazine, Greek word.
Sofrazine.
For finding balance.
And I just want to play this. This was, you wrote this for your granny.
Yeah.
And he had sent me a beautiful little message. My mom passed away last week. And so we're kind of dedicating it to his granny and my mom. So everybody have a great night. We'll see you next week. Don will be back next week. And hopefully you guys can come by and you'll love Kimo. And we'll see you next week. Thank you and have a great week.